Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. The McRib is back and the tribe is reacting.
Yes.
AJ, Connecticut's McRib ambassador, has some of the comments coming into him.
Yes. As a matter of fact, it was John Limmer who messed me on Facebook and said that his wife purchased 3 McRibs for him before he got home from work. They were like almost $15. He was shocked by this, by the price, but he said they were delicious. Donald Jacques, another friend on Facebook, messaged me and said, "Try it for the first time. A bit messy. Expect with barbecue, but very, very delicious."
Any barbecue sandwich is going to be messy.
Exactly.
A good
right.
one anyway.
Exactly right. So just figure you need napkins. Don't wear your good shirt when you have one of these. But he did have one friend, Joel DiBiase.
Don't wear your good shirt to McDonald's.
Exactly. Right.
Gotcha.
Right. He did try it. He didn't like it. So
who?
My buddy Joel DiBiase did not like it. He tried one, did not like it. I was very surprised because Joel looks like the type of person you'd see eating a...
what does that mean?
A McRib sandwich. It's like one of those manly men, you know?
Are you saying he's fat?
No, manly men. Now, right. I didn't say portly. I didn't say nothing like that, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay, we've had comments coming in on the Chaz and AJ text with that Ashley.
Yep, Frank from Orange. Ashley, I would rather hear you sing than listen to AJ talk about the McRib.
Oh, see? I had such nice things to say about him, too. Oh, well.
Right.
Wow. We could do both of those things.
We could do both, yes.
Well, any other comments?
Yep. I would rather be chained to a wooden board careening toward a river heading for a waterfall than listen to AJ talk about the McRib.
Well, you know, we can arrange that. We can tie this person.
Who left that one?
Oh, that was me.
Okay.
Oh, that was you. you know, that was almost funny.
Reaction coming in from all over the planet. Danbury Mark Boughton asked if he could live without it.
No effing way.
Nice.
John Travolta, would you like another one?
Yeah.
Senator Kennedy of Louisiana, what did the McRib taste like?
Sack of potatoes.
And Joe Biden, would you like another one?
Is this Chad or is this AJ?
I'm Chaz.
Right. Chad, well, I tell you.
It's Chaz with a Z, sir.
Right.
Bob Barker, do you have a message for AJ?
I'm going to pump you good.
I guess he likes it. Okay. I'm guessing he likes it.
Talking about the McRib?
Yeah. Okay.
We had a vaccine doctor on yesterday. We asked him a bunch of questions, but we started with, what do you think of the McRib?
I'm glad it's back.
See?
Huh.
And he's a doctor. He's a smart person. Dean Vaccine over here.
Dean Vaccine.
Yep.
Yeah, it rhymes.
So you would eat the McRib?
I would definitely eat the McRib despite not having FDA approval.
There you go. See? He's good that way.
When do you think the rest of us will get it?
Yeah, outside of healthcare workers, essential workers, and then those with, you know, high risk over 65 with pre-existing conditions that make them more susceptible, probably the general public's looking at the end of Q1, beginning of Q2 of 2021.
Wow.
Ooh. Mm. It's a long line to wait.
Okay, if you had to make a choice, like they're like, hey, Dr. Dean, we can only get you one. Which one are you picking?
For Moderna and Pfizer, either one. They're both mRNA based vaccines, which are new vaccines that have never been developed. They're basically the same.
See,
so
this
I
is
going to
be one of those questions
one.
I'm going to press you on a little bit. So I have 2 pizzas in my hand.
Okay.
All right. So you have to pick one.
Right, right.
Which vaccine?
Let's go with Pfizer because they're more advanced. They're going to meet with the FDA's external regulatory body on December 10th. Moderna will meet on December 17th, so we should have both of these vaccines approved by the end of the year.
Nice.
Are we going to have to do this again? Like, the flu shot sort of changes every season a bit, right, depending on the strain. So are we going to have to develop something else next season? Like, how does that work?
Corona 2 with Lyme.
Yeah, that's a great question. Hopefully not. The flu shot, about 150 million Americans get that every year, and that's about 40 to 60% effective. So when you think about this, you know, at least the Pfizer and Moderna, they're reporting over 90%. So, you know, it could be the type of situation where, you know, you don't have that long-term immune response and we have to get this vaccine, the coronavirus vaccine, every year. But so far, it doesn't look like, you know, a lot of these most advanced vaccines are targeting, you probably heard of the spike protein that attaches to the human cells, and that's how the cells become infected. That region has not mutated, so it looks like some consistency among the vaccines is present already, so that's certainly good news.
You seen this story about the Zappos founder?
Yeah.
Do you know what Zappos is?
Yeah, by choosing them.
Yeah.
Yep.
He founded the company, retired recently.
Young age, too.
46?
Yeah, retired that. Yeah,
that is young.
Probably on some smoking cool house in London. Probably shouldn't use the word smoking.
On the water, I saw it.
But there was a fire, and he died. And I thought, how sad. You're right at the point in life where you're going to enjoy it and you die.
Yeah.
Horrible story.
Sucks.
But I didn't really think much of it until the thing started coming out. It
unraveling.
Keeps getting weirder and weirder.
Yeah.
Kevin Hogan, Channel 3, is covering the story. And what do we know, Kev?
Well, I saw the Daily News Online. What is it? Which was weird yesterday. You know, I knew Saturday that something was odd. And I said it. I called the friends with the fire chief in New London, Tom Curcio. I said, "Chief," I said, "off record, I said something's strange about this." He says, "Yeah, that's why my fire marshals are there investigating." But he wouldn't elaborate on
now,
it.
Now, what did you see that made you think something strange was happening?
I mean, it's a beautiful house. It's owned by what we believe is a former colleague of his who he hired, I think, in early 2002 or something like that as a phone call receptionist. And he liked what she was doing on the phone, and he promoted her. No, they only had less than 100 people. This is, you know, what they're saying. That
it seems like a nice house for someone who's answering the phone.
That's nice.
He bought it in August for $1.3 million.
Wow.
And it
can
only
I
and it sold
for him.
Yeah,
yeah, really. That's the phone.
He's
but
dead
but
now,
she
but.
Was doing promotions. She was doing promotions and rallying employees as they hired more employees. So he promoted her to the executive position.
She was doing more than answering phone. She started out doing that, then
worked her way up.
Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. Worked. So, but the house is beautiful. But it only sold. Let's see, in August, and the last time it sold, it was like. For 600 and something thousand. So it like doubled in price. I'm like, why? I don't know.
Wait, but so it was six, and then it was 1.3?
Right, that's what it sold for.
Yeah,
right,
okay.
So. Wow.
And then so he didn't own this
so
house
that, figure out,
he didn't own the house he died in. It was his.
No. I mean, she was, well.
Kevin,
Rachel
you know
Wood.
Something and you're not telling us.
He's dying to go there, apparently.
I've known you for
no,
a
I
long
don't.
Time.
No. I know. I can't put my finger on it because nobody's talking. Oh. No one on record is talking.
He's still in the process.
But this person, this where he was staying, was
right.
that a relationship other than professional? Was it personal? Besides being
who
friends?
Knows? Okay. Monday, when I went up to the door, this big young guy, maybe in his 30s, answered the door, very nice. And there was Post-it notes on the outside of the door, peace, love. And I'm like, oh, that's odd. The screen door was opened, forced open with something blocking it, so it's like partially open. Knocked on the door, a guy comes to the door and says, everybody loved Tony. Tony spread love all over. He was at peace and like, okay, thank you.
That is weird
he was
to
our
say.
Hero.
Yeah.
He was at peace.
I say,
our,
who is this?
That's he's 46.
He's our hero.
Okay,
he's our
that's
hero.
Nice.
I'm like, all right, yeah, it was all nice, but they're not going to say anything. No comment. Maybe down the road we'll say something. I'm like, okay, thank you. Here's my card.
Almost like a cult. The shoe cult.
Yeah, but you. No, you couldn't see only from these shots that were done for a realty agency. You could see from the water side of the house where this shed, which is attached to the house. I'm thinking, why?
That's where he was. He was in the shed, right?
He wasn't in the house.
It was the he shed.
No, he was 3:30 in the morning on November 18th. He's inside the shed. which is on fire.
Now, I'm thinking this shed is not a shed like I would have. This
is a shed,
almost like a, you know,
a small cabin.
Almost like a guest house.
Yes.
And it's a, you know, it's a small shed attached to the house on the outside. And there's a pool in the front. And that it's what they use to store lounge chairs and things like that.
Okay, so it was a real shed.
Okay, yeah.
He's in the house.
And he was
at 3 a.m. in the
firefighters. He's in the shed. Listened to the audio recording. The firefighters were trying to get into that because it was smoking on fire, and they couldn't get him out. They, you know, but they did. You know, they broke in the whatever kind of fire. And was it Daily News Online? Something. Talked to former employees and said that he allegedly, you know, was drinking a lot of Grey Goose. He liked candles
And
nitrous oxide. Nitrous oxide.
Whippets, right?
Whippets. I've never done a whippet.
Laughing gas.
Whippet good.
Yeah. Okay.
So who knows? Until the final fire marshal's report comes out, you know, I know Vern, the fire marshal, and his assistant.
Okay. Now,
and they're not going to say anything.
Kevin Hogan, Channel 3, is on. We're talking about the Zappos founder who recently retired and then died in a fire in a shed in New London. Right?
Strange. Very strange story.
Yep.
Now,
taken to the hospital initially and then to Bridgeport's burn unit.
Oh, okay.
And that's when he died last Friday. So he's there.
That's more than smoke inhalation. Off the record, what's the vibe? Is it, you know, he did this himself or this was an accident, a horrible accident?
God, who knows? I talked to the police chief too, Pete Reichert, and it's like they're all investigating.
Yeah.
You know, the police and fire, and they don't know. I mean, well, he's not saying.
You know what struck me is that you went to the door and someone said he's at peace. That means he was not in a good place before he died. When somebody says they're at peace, that means they either struggled with a horrible disease or they mentally was just struggling with
anguish,
depression or... Yeah. Right? Yeah. Was that say that to you?
I'm guessing.
It was just weird. So I'm anxious to find out what really happened. I know the first responders who got there know what happened.
Oh, really?
And nobody's saying.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
why do you know that?
You go in there, you see what... Well, I only know because that's what happens. You know, if you're there, if you go to the scene of an accident, you see what happened, right?
Yeah. Right. Okay. You can see if the fire was intentional or accidental, if the
and
person
if you,
passed
you
out.
And you see what's around, unless it's so smoky and foggy and you can't see. But they've been there for days, you know. How big of a shed is it? It's not that big. What is it? Maybe 30 square feet?
Right. It's an international story.
How many things are
I know, there? Yeah.
This is everywhere.
Yep.
It was a big deal. Saturday when I was finishing painting my house when my editors are calling me and like, can you clarify this? I'm like, what? I didn't know. I'm off Thursdays and Fridays.
I don't know. Like, hey, I'm painting a friggin' house over here.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
The cans are out. So the brushes.
Right. The wall's
got
almost done.
I a pan with a roller.
Exactly.
I put everything down and I called the fire chief and I got it confirmed, and then we went from there. And then I got to work. I'm like looking every newspaper, every national, international organization, news organization is on to something. And I guess he was a big deal.
Yeah. I saw the headline. I thought that's sad. And the story just wouldn't go away. I'm like, why are people fascinated with this story?
Yeah.
And then yesterday, the Whippet and the Grey Goose and the candles came out. I'm like, okay, here we go.
Grey Goose.
This is taking a turn now.
Right.
Good vodka.
But how do they find that out?
A friend was quoted in a paper. Now, this is an anonymous source, so you never know.
Right.
But it was described in, he was described in Vanity Fair as a consummate partier, throwing frequent events at the office to celebrate everything from meeting sales targets to ringing in the Chinese New Year's with a horse, a live horse.
Okay, so a fun boss.
Taking shots of Grey Goose just because.
All right.
Wow.
Kevin, you should know this.
Yeah.
should know it.
He's, so working, he's painting a house, AJ.
He's working the other side of the story.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, leave me alone.
Yeah, I'm painting a house. I'm not on now.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not at work yet. Wait a minute. Yeah. I mean, it is fascinating. It's just, then one of my executive producers started talking about all this stuff. And like, can you find out blah, 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 blah? I'm like, whoa. I said, why are you so, you know, it's a strange story.
Right.
It's just another strange story.
Yeah. What's the deal here?
What is the deal?
Well, he had a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah.
Amazon bought the company.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I retired, too.
And he stayed with him.
And he stayed with him.
And he lived in a trailer. He lived in an Airstream.
What?
Really?
What? He lived in a trailer in Las Vegas.
A trailer?
Yeah. Well, Airstreams are nice.
Airstream.
But, yeah.
Oh, they're beautiful.
Yep.
What's that? Is that the one that looks like it's from the 50s? It's all chrome?
Well, it's different kinds from the company.
Yes.
Yeah. But some are pretty elaborate, yeah.
Why would... All right.
But that's what he lived in.
All right. Yeah. This guy was eccentric.
Yeah.
Eccentric, yeah.
All right, so
Google was a visionary.
Right, Google.
Everybody said a visionary and how he treated people. And he read what I was reading on Saturday. If they didn't have a certain line of shoes or a certain style for a customer, he said, go to the competition and let them know and let the customer know who has them.
Like, well, that's cool.
Well, that's thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
You get a loyalty from your people.
Yeah, go listen to another radio station.
I won't say that.
No.
I wouldn't do that.
No.
No.
Mm.
But
they sold great flops, I know that.
Mm. Well, what would they be listening for me to recommend another radio station? Like, oh, I'm sorry, did you want to be bored?
Right. I can help you out there.
Oh, yeah, NPR.
Right. I can help you out, Dennis.
I'm sorry, did you want to hear the worst morning show in the United States?
I can help you.
KC 101. Let's see, do you want to hear just nothing but music that you can hear on your phone? Let's see. There's like 100 of them.
But that was his mindset, though,
right.
Chaz.
Yeah.
He just wanted, you know, make sure the customer is satisfied.
Customer came first.
Right.
That's it. Yeah.
That's weird.
So
very weird.
Do you want to hear a lady chasing things out of her garden?
Hold on, everybody. Get out of my garden. Get out of my garden. That little chipmunk was... It ate my tomato.
That would be WICC.
It ate my tomato.
We love her, by the way.
That particular tomato?
Right. Kevin Hogan, Channel 3, is on. We're talking to this, talking to him about the Zappos founder.
Zappos.
Who died in a fire in New London.
Man.
So, look, the question is, did he party and fall asleep, and then the worst thing, his candles went in horrible?
Right.
Or was it something else?
Maybe the nitrous oxide ignited, you know.
Nobody thinks it's murder, right? Yeah. That would be the third thing.
That would be the hidden element.
I'm thinking an accident.
Now, I reached out to the state medical examiner's office thinking this is on Saturday. That, okay, must have done do an autopsy. They have to. You know, a death like that. So they... by Sunday morning, 11:30, I got a response back thinking, it'll be pending. Now, pending from the ME's office means it's a toxicology report, which takes 6 weeks. So we're not going to know until January.
Right.
Know if there's anything else to
but
it.
Do so, they have to, on the death certificate, write if it's, I hate to use the word, suicide or accidental?
Intentional or accidental?
Yeah, they
murder?
They would.
Okay.
But I don't know if they'll be able to find something like that, what the signs were in that shed.
Yeah.
Or talking to people. That's what the chief said. No, we have to talk to, we don't know about funeral arrangements or any ceremony. Mm. We still need to talk to people who are in the house.
Can you imagine just being a good guy and being a, big time partier, and then 46 years old, you're a zillionaire.
Yeah.
And then you die.
That
just
sucks.
Blows.
That
Bummer.
Does.
Yeah. All right.
Well, if it's that the way that some of the newspapers or tabloids are doing it, it's like, well,
that's some heavy partying.
So, yeah. Not the way I want to go.
Kevin Hogan, have you tried the McRib?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Oh.
No, I haven't.
Then according to AJ, you're not living.
You have not lived.
And then
yet.
We were talking about tipping. Do you
really?
And then we're talking about tipping. Do you tip your local news guy?
Your local news guy?
Yeah.
That'd be you, Kevin.
Well, it's news tips. It's a news tips. I got a story for you.
You get the feeling there could be a story right in front of Kevin and be like,
what's that?
Nah.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I get calls and tips and emails and
yeah, email our tip line.
Right.
Exactly.
That's the tip that Kevin wants.
Right.
He wants a tip on a story.
Yes.
Not a monetary tip.
He'll take those two.
Not a monetary tip.
Kevin, thanks.
People offer stuff. Oh, here's this. No, I can't do that.
Like what?
Sorry.
Like what?
Oh, you go do a story and there's a farm. I went to and I'm trying to think of the name of the farm. And I'm like, here, take some milk. You know, I'm like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, I got a long way to go, you know. Yeah. No refrigerator.
Where is that milk?
Yeah, I would take that.
Yeah. Right, there's no refrigerator in the news car.
It'll spoil by the time I get home.
All right, Kevin. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on. If we don't talk to you, happy holidays, brother.
I don't even want to make him wait another second.
Thank you.
6 years, right. Go for it.
I'm opening the package.
Oh, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
What? I'm opening the package.
You mean the McRib?
That too.
Thank you.
I am now hoisting the sandwich into the air. Look upon its glory. Look upon its delicious.
What does it smell like?
It smells like barbecue sauce. It smells like soft roll. It smells like pickles.
Soft roll.
It smells like onions. There's no meat listed here. Barbecue sauce, bread, and pickles.
Well, the smell of barbecue sauce overpowers the smell of the pork.
Barbecues make people angry.
Exactly. Can I bite this yet?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, here
Who's
we go.
Stopping you?
Oh, my God. Mm-mm. I should have heated up a little more, but it's really? Fantastic. It really is. Oh, my God. It's just exactly how I remember it. Oh, my God, this is good.
The first thing you said was, oh, my God. The second thing you said was, I should have heated it up more.
I should have a little
so
more.
It's not great.
A little more. No, the taste is fantastic. I should have just heated a little more. So, but I put it in for like a minute and a half in the microwave. I didn't want these to go, you know.
Why would you put it in the fridge this morning?
Because this way it would, because I kept it in the fridge last night. I let it cool down and then I put it in the fridge.
It could make it room temperature, though.
So right. So it wouldn't be in bad condition, yeah. I didn't want anybody to get sick. Yeah, so I have two here, one for you, one for Goose Boy in there. So,
his name is Phil.
Yes, yes. That was the name.
All right, but I feel like I want mine warmed up now.
I'll warm it be more. I'll put him back in the microwave.
I'll warm it be more.
Yes. Really? Right, I'll warm it up some more.
No, eat your sandwich.
Well, no.
You've been waiting 6 years.
No.
Do you leave the pickles on when you microwave it?
Yes.
Mistake.
Ooh, well, soggy pickles.
You they become hot slabs.
Mm-hmm. Well, fine. Great.
It doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It doesn't sound good.
Why?
Something about it. I could tell you don't like it as much as you used to.
I love it. You kidding me? It's delicious.
You were too anxious to go and heat up hours.
I know.
Like if you put a pizza in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are on your own.
You guys, go heat it up yourself. Yeah. I'm.
It's called being polite. Maybe you guys can look it up.
I'm going to look that up.
Yes. But no, so freaking good, man.
Ashley, you want to read that text message?
Sure. Let me pull it up really quick. So I got a text message and to the station line, and it says, reaction to McRib. I'd rather drag my balls across broken glass, dip them in salt to hear Rosie O'Donnell fart through a walkie-talkie than hear AJ.
Hear AJ.
That's it. That's all they wrote.
Okay, so this literate person couldn't...
I didn't know it ended there.
This literate person couldn't finish their freaking sentence. Hopefully they had a heart attack and died. Thank you.
To be honest with you, I wouldn't mind hearing all of that.
Exactly,
Rosie
right.
O'Donnell just while eating McRib. Walkie-talkie.
Right. As
That's
I'm talk-
funny.
As
That's
I'm talking about it. Exactly, right. Yeah. Well, you know what? Some people, you know, some people are just complete a-holes, and that's an example of one of them.
Yeah. All right.
And to be quite honest with you, I don't care what you think.
Right. You're having a good time
I'm having a good time, and I'm talking about the McRib.
It's your party.
Feel free to drag your little pebbles across, whatever you want.
He's got his microwave pickles and his barbecue sauce, and he's happy.
Exactly,
that's
right.
That's all he cares about.
Exactly, right. So you cannot ruin my parade.
Jimmy, if he's good enough, if the governor's good enough, he could open up for Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Right.
Absolutely. It's his show.
Jimmy Coppock, Live Nation.
Has anybody mentioned that if I pay him too much money and I lose money on the show, it comes out of the Connecticut State budget or his pocket?
The rainy day fund.
Right.
The rainy day fund. Right.
Who's this band Lamont opening for Skynyrd?
Right.
They sound different.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
They sound like an elf.
Right. Imagine that. Simple kind of man. I'm doing some Skynyrd. I mean, not.
That will go down with the Skynyrd crowd really well.
Yeah, really. First bottle, boom, oh.
Right.
We have full bottles.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Have you, we've talked about this before, openers that didn't last the whole set.
Well, potentially.
Oh, yeah. You know, listen, I've had bottles thrown at me on stage.
At you?
Yeah, me. I mean, I was young, so I could avoid it. I never got hit. I used to dance around when they threw bottles
like
at me.
A ninja.
Now I think I'll come out in a big suit of armor or something, because I don't think I can move as fast.
Exactly, right? Bing, bang, bing.
Like, and hey, those are when ticket prices were $10, they threw bottles at me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's why we don't have bottles anymore.
No.
Jimmy got tired of them breaking on stage.
But the aluminum bottles will hurt, too. Plus, you hear a ding noise.
Right, AJ just had to make ribs, so he sounds like a kid who sugared up.
Yeah, I am, sorry.
Just so I want to warn you.
I'm
right
always
away.
Like this, though. He's always like this.
It's like a hummingbird right now.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Right. I'm wired.
Before we get into any potential news or information and then the tribe's phone calls, Jimmy would like to announce his gift to the Chaz and AJ McDermott Chevrolet Lexus toy drive.
Yes. We certainly expect to open up the amphitheater in Bridgeport this summer. Which will be obviously our inaugural summer of concerts. And we have some great shows planned. At some point we'll start announcing shows, hopefully early next year, once we see where the vaccine is taking us. But there certainly is light at the end of the tunnel, the way it looks. And I would like two people to be my guests at any concert they choose. And they will be our VIP guests. They'll come through the VIP entrance. They'll get VIP parking. They'll be in the VIP club, which Chaz and AJ have seen.
Yes, it's beautiful. Yep.
It's going to be really great. And we'll actually see if it's okay with the artists, and we'll take them for a backstage tour at the same time.
Right.
So I'm sure the artists wouldn't mind.
Depending on the artist. So if the artist is cool with it, you're backstage.
Yeah. I'm pretty friendly with a lot of them. Plus, I have my own office backstage, a full-time office backstage, which I don't have up at Xfinity. And I don't have a full-time office backstage at Oakdale. It's in the executive offices. But backstage at Bridgeport, I will have my own office. So I'll always use the excuse, I'm going to my office with my two friends, and
right.
I can't imagine an artist saying no to me.
Exactly.
That's
right.
Great. Jimmy, thank you for that.
That's awesome, man. Thank you.
We're going to have an auction next week, and the highest bid, and every penny will go to these kids.
Absolutely.
Want to help. So.
And we will have some great shows, and you don't have to announce what show you want till you see our full season, and then you can decide which show you want, and we'll have two fantastic tickets for you. VIP treatment, and hopefully a backstage tour.
Well, that's VIP treatment, but then, people can get VIP treatment, but not hang out with Jimmy Coppock
right.
And go back to his office.
Exactly.
This is not something you could just go out and buy.
No, this is cool.
This is a one-of-a-kind
yes.
opportunity. So thank you very much, Jimmy.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Any news?
I don't want to be a cheap date.
No, you are not a cheap date.
Never, ever.
Well, we'll find out.
Right. Yeah, hopefully we get a good bid.
Right.
Any news, any information?
Well, we are booking the amphitheater. Both amphitheaters, the big one and the small one. More of the small shows right now at the Bridgeport Amphitheater than the big shows. The big tours are still deciding whether they're going to go out in 21 or 22. But as far as Bridgeport's concerned, we are getting more and more shows weekly, and nothing I want to announce at this point because once you announce a show and you really don't know what month you're opening up. We're hoping to open up in June. I'm not an idiot. I did put Lynyrd Skynyrd in there in June, so the governor might let us open up earlier, because Skynyrd's going to be there.
Cool.
But it could have done August, and I said, no. I want the governor to want to come to Skynyrd, so we'll take a June date. But at this point, I don't want to announce anything because, we got to see how this pandemic turns out over the next two to three months, I would think.
I will tell you, the governor gave us some pretty good news in the last break that he thinks everyone will have the vaccine by summer. So,
well, that's great. That's great. And I hope from a personal standpoint, everybody takes the vaccine to make everybody safe.
Yeah, it'll be that one person.
We'll see how that one goes.
Don't be the spreader.
But if you get vaccinated, you'll feel safe.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, you'll feel better.
I'll be dancing the street.
You'll be protected. It'll be like having a little shield on you.
Right.
All right.
Can't touch me. Yeah. Can't touch me.
I haven't gotten the measles since I got the measles vaccine.
Right.
Exactly. Funny how that works.
Exactly.
Right?
Robin Trower, Totes Place, New Haven, 1984.
Wow.
Well, in all honesty, I rarely went to my Toad shows anywhere because I had so many other shows to go to. So I most probably, although the show actually was yesterday, was the anniversary, it was December 2nd, 1984, which is sort of odd. But nonetheless, I was not at that show. In all honesty, I went to Toad's 3, 4, 5 times a year. And that was one show I didn't go to. But the irony was, it was yesterday. It was the anniversary.
Oh, wow. I was at that show.
Oh, yeah?
Horizon Sound did this sound for Toad's Place. Keith Dupke worked there.
Okay.
And, sure. I remember Keith.
Yeah, I was helping to load in.
Okay.
And they had to change all the gels on the spotlights to blue and purple and dark red.
Okay. You wanted that vibe?
Yeah. And that's all I remember from the show. I remember it was a good concert. Right. And he wasn't a very talky guy. Like, he didn't talk in between the songs.
Just played.
Yeah.
Yep.
He wasn't a talky guy in general. He was sort of odd. He was spooky. I think that is a better word. It was very, there was an air, I don't know how if you saw him that night, but there was always an air around Robin that was sort of, maybe I should just stay away from him.
Like a little creepy?
Yeah, creepy. That's a good word.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, some artists get a kick out of playing in front of people, and they don't really like the studio work that much. I think it was the opposite with him. I think he liked doing the studio. I'm not sure if he was a person.
I got to play for people?
I don't think he was a people person.
That's why he wanted the dark gel, so he can't see anybody.
Yeah,
no one can see me either.
He seemed uncomfortable. He didn't want to be there, but he was great.
Well, he had an album called Bridge of Sighs, didn't he? So that kind of tells you right there what his mood is.
Richard.
Well, now that we've ripped apart Robin Trower, who's next?
Now.
None of us hardly know the guy.
Right. He was great.
What?
He was great.
He's so much fun at parties.
Great. He just, you know, he wasn't shaking hands and high-fiving.
Yeah, he wasn't a warm person.
No, never. That never seemed like a warm guy. And I'd done tons of shows with Robin Trower, too.
And you would say, who's that guy that's at the bar buying shots to everybody? Is that Robin Trower?
Rich in Waterbury.
Good morning.
Hey.
How about the concert, Van Halen concert? I believe it was 1980. I think it was Alex's birthday, and we all got hit that were in front with the birthday cake.
Oh,
I got
cool.
Birthday cake all over me. It was really cool. It was a great concert.
They had a thing. They brought a lot of birthday cakes out on stage.
Yeah. I think this was the tour. That,
thank you, Rich.
We talked to the guy who got the backstage thing from MTV. He's like, yeah, they did this every show, and every audience would go nuts. They would just use it as an excuse to throw cake over.
Yeah,
the front
someone's
row.
Birthday cake. Yeah. Do you remember having to buy cakes for Van Halen, Jimmy?
Yes. And I believe Rich is talking about we had Van Halen at the Coliseum that year, and also in the Civic Center. And I think he's talking about the Coliseum show, if I remember. I don't know Alex's birth date, so I can't tell you exactly.
Oh, Phil's going to look it up right now.
He's good that way.
But May 8th, we had him at the New Haven Coliseum.
That is his birthday.
Boom.
It is.
Jimmy. Jimmy's got this.
So it was Jimmy.
Well, damn, Phil, I don't even know if you looked it up or you're just saying it, so it works anyway.
Yeah.
It was just a great radio moment, Jimmy.
Trust me, he looked it up.
No, that is his birthday, May 8th, 1953.
Yep, I can tell you about that stuff.
Well, he was a young 27 years old then. So, and yes, we always bought the birthday cake, and we always had it made by this specialty company in New York, and we would put the Van Halen logo on it if it was Van Halen, and we picked it up. It's on the Upper East Side. We go all the way down in New York, and they would make these great specialty cakes in any logo we wanted. And I remember one time for Van Halen, we had to make a penis cake. take, actually.
I don't know if
that's to get on the air. That might get
that's the first thing I thought.
For Dave. Right.
And we had to bring it up to the band, and they brought that on stage and threw it at each other. So afterwards, I said to David, I said, why would you have us do that? And he goes, I'll bet you nobody else had penis cakes thrown on stage before, and we were the first ever.
Yeah, that's why I did it. Yeah. First, he smacked it around a bit.
Probably
yes.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
yeah. But there's a reason why no one else did it.
Right.
They didn't want it.
It was supposed to be bigger.
Talking about rock star wieners.
Oh. Interesting. That's why you guys were laughing.
He didn't really get into any details, but I just wrote it down as something I thought I might ask him on the air.
Oh.
Have you ever seen a rock star's wiener?
Yes.
Could have thought about it for a second.
What was the circumstance?
Well, it was at the New Haven Coliseum, and I walked into this artist's dressing room, and the Coliseum dressing rooms were team rooms. They were locker rooms. So if you went to the urinal and you turned around, there very well could be somebody taking a shower.
Oh.
And you're facing the other way. So being a guy, and you know how it is when you're at a urinal, you really don't want to look at the urinal next to you.
No.
Right.
Never.
It's a man thing. Women might not understand that, but it's a man thing when you look straight ahead and you don't move your head either way.
Yeah, stare at the wall.
I'd be curious.
Stare at the wall.
It's unexplainable, I think, but whatever. And I turned around to leave. And there is a rock star by the name of Billy Squire, but I won't use his name. And he's taking a shower. And I went, wow, you must get a lot of girls. I didn't know what else to say.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. There are a lot of Billy Squire stories. You don't have to look hard to, no pun intended, find that.
Warm and hard?
Yeah. Let's go to Diane in West Haven. But first, if you have any questions for Jimmy or if you want to talk to him about a concert you went to, 1-877-764-2535. Diane.
Hi, everyone. How are you?
Good.
Hello.
So I listen to you guys every week and I listen to the stories. And I was like, you know what? I said to my husband, I'm telling your story. I don't know why he won't tell his story, but I'm here to tell it. So,
all right.
Thank you.
Knock on your husband. Go for it.
2011, August, Xfinity Theater, Journey was there. And everyone who knows me knows how much I love Journey. And we were kind of in the front. There were two groups on before them. I think it was Foreigner and Night Ranger. And Arnell was on for probably like 30 minutes. And he went to go run like across the stage. And he like disappeared. Apparently there was a hole in the stage that they didn't cover.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So about 30 people rushed the stage. And nobody really knew, even though there was a security guard facing the crowd, nobody really knew that he disappeared yet.
Oh.
The band was still playing. Everybody's doing their thing. And when the people rushed the stage, my husband was one of them. And he's the one, a person that you kind of want around for stuff like that. He'll just react. He jumped on the stage, jumped down into the hole, and picked Arnell up. And let me tell you, there are pipes down there. They're
right.
About very, very close to his head and stuff. And my husband had said it could have been a very different outcome.
Right.
He's very, very lucky. So my husband picked him up, and he could hear them on the headset. They were realizing that something was wrong.
Right.
And my husband picked him up, and he got him up to the front of the stage. And again, my husband doesn't work there. We're just watching this concert. I can't move. I literally can't move because I cannot believe what's going on.
Was it Don't Stop Believing?
And then security got involved, and then they finally realized, hey, you know, and he hurt his knee and stuff. He ended up coming back on stage and stuff. But, yeah, my husband just jumped off the stage, comes back to the seat. And people are like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my
Hero.
God. And my mom is like, does he work there? I'm like, no, he doesn't work here.
Yeah.
He just reacted. The security guard never even budged. He was... had no clue what was going on behind him, but yeah, Arnell was very lucky. And,
yeah, if he landed on one of those pipes with the high notes, no problem.
Yeah,
well, I'm sure that's
he's
a true story.
He's so light.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a true story because our stage at Xfinity is made of scaffolding, which I thought was a sign of genius when I opened up in 1995 because I always wanted to bring Pink Floyd into, into Hartford, and they would only play, then they carried their own stage. So I was the first amphitheater that had a removable stage. So it was fully scaffolding. That's why there were pipes underneath, because scaffolding is built on pipes.
Yeah.
So, okay. And it was sense. Foreigner and Night Ranger, so you're 100% right there. Yeah. So your memory is spot on as far as you're concerned. It was August 25th, 2011, and that's a heck of a story.
Wow.
And that is a heck of a story. Thank you for listening.
Hey, thank you for calling Diane, and thank your husband for saving Journey.
Yep. And down below you heard, when the lights go down in the city.
I thought at least Christmas cards or something for life, but nothing yet, so I'm still waiting.
Well, don't stop believing.
It is a cool story.
Don't stop believing.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Diane. Jimmy, had you ever heard that? Did anyone tell you? Hey, by the way.
I don't think a lawyer would tell you.
All right.
No, nobody's ever told me that. No, I didn't get sued. Let's put it that way.
Good.
But I was at the show, and I do remember it. I was at, because I'm also an enormous Journey fan, so I was at the show.
Do you think that they, do you think your people would let someone just jump on stage and jump down into a hole? And
is that something? It's usually panic that goes on when the lead singer disappears. So it wouldn't surprise.
Where'd he go?
Jimmy says it like it happens often, you know, or right. Or it's happened before.
Right, on the heads is going,
when they disappear, we get very nervous.
Right. Well, there's that famous Peter Frampton story in Hartford where he just walked off the front of the stage at Cole Park and disappeared.
Do you feel like we do? Oh!
Jimmy's always around when these things happen.
I noticed that, yeah.
You can't spend too much time with Jimmy before the show.
No,
could
no.
be the problem.
No, stay away from me. I'm like toxic.
Yeah, see him afterwards.
And you were almost electrocuted once on stage.
Yes, at Cole Park, at a Yes show. I was electrocuted, but not badly hurt. The guy next to me was badly hurt.
Oh.
Yeah. So I've been hit by lightning. I've been in a plane crash.
Hit by bottles.
Did you tell us about the plane crash?
I was in a plane crash in Houston, Texas. Everybody lived, but we crash landing in Houston. So, and I've been hit by lightning. So, I think the value of being with me in Bridgeport, that prize we offered at the beginning of the show, is diminishing as
right,
we continue
right, it's
to
getting
talk
lower
about
and lower.
It.
No,
right.
You defy death. I want to hang out with you.
That's true.
Maybe we could get more money if I say I'm not going to be there.
I think AJ makes a good point. You defied death,
exactly.
So you're the safest person.
Oh, yeah, I'm hanging right next to you.
Okay, good. Yes, I'm fine with that. No problem, AJ. No problem.
Cool.
Jim in Stanford.
Hey, that's me.
How you doing? I was wondering what was your favorite stage? Who had the best stage that you had ever seen?
That's a good one.
All that kind of stuff. I saw Kiss at New Haven Coliseum in 77, I believe, in February. I was sixth grade, third row, and it was just incredible. I was just wondering what your favorite stage was.
Well, my favorite stage is Kiss, and I'm not saying that because I'm also Jim from Stanford. I will also agree that my favorite stage has always been Kiss. There are some stages that have trap doors. And Kiss has trap doors because they come up from the bottom of the stage. And I've always liked that look
a lot. Yeah, I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah, so well, I agree with you. I always saw Kiss.
Awesome. I appreciate the answer. And this is my favorite segment every Thursday. It's the best. Thanks, guys.
Mine, too.
Thank you. I agree.
What about Pink Floyd?
Pink Floyd had a great stage, but I thought their light show was their specialty, and the flying pigs and things like that. So I didn't concentrate on the stage itself. I thought what they did is they had the greatest stage show, but it didn't always take place on stage.
Right. The Wall concert, did that ever come to Connecticut?
No. Well, Roger Waters' Wall concert did, but not the Pink Floyd Wall concert.
Oh.
The Pink Floyd Wall concert was only at Nassau Coliseum and on the West Coast.
Was that your show at NASA?
No, but I was there.
How many tractor trailers was that to just move their stuff around?
Well, I can tell you that I can't tell you for Pink Floyd because I didn't do that show, but Roger Waters had 22. Trucks, which at that time was the largest show we've ever done. truck-wise, and he could only play in certain venues because you can't unload 22 trucks in enough time to get the show up and going because, as you know, he knocked the wall down piece by piece.
Right. Holy cow.
It's like a convoy of trucks.
22 trucks.
Wow. All in a row. That's cool.
Dave in Fairfield has a backstage story of his own, Seven Dust and Megadeth.
Ooh.
Yes. It was at the Xfinity Theater. And Seven Dust, we were smoking pot with the band. And then we were told when we were getting ready to go meet Megadeth and Dave Mustaine, Dave Mustaine was in recovery, so we weren't allowed to bring any booze into the Megadeth backstage area.
Good idea.
So I was, like, surprised. I didn't know that he was in recovery, but that was pretty cool. And I'd also like to thank Mr. Koplik for hooking me up with the Iron Maiden show in August of 2019. It was unbelievable. I think you remember me. I called you and left you. Both me and my sponsor loved the show.
Yep. I'm glad you did that. That was great. Yeah, it was great to see Iron Maiden because it took a long time for us to convince them to come up to Xfinity because they toured every year and they wouldn't play outdoors at Xfinity. I finally convinced them. I guarantee you'll do over 10,000 people, and it did over 15,000 people, so it was great.
Yeah, cool. And I was also at the Maiden show the first time you brought them through, like, I don't know, 12, 13 years ago. It was the first tour when Bruce came back to it with them, and it was Bruce's birthday, and they had the giant maid, the iron shell on the back of the stage when they played Iron Maiden, and they had a bunch of strippers in there dancing. I don't know if you remember that, but I do remember
Jimmy,
that,
too. Jimmy, did you hire them?
No, I did not hire them, but I personally did not hire them. But we had to go find them, and we went to the Gold Club, usually, is where we went.
Oh.
I don't even know if the Gold Club's still open anymore.
They went canvassing.
It changes names, but I think it's still open, yeah.
Yeah, we used to go to the Gold Club and get the dancers from there.
Tough
job.
So
those are my stories. And New Haven Coliseum, Kiss was my first show in that show.
Wow.
The 77 show. That was my first show. My father took me and my brother.
Cool.
So yeah. We both first show. You go to a Kiss show as your first concert, you love concerts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was my first one.
Yeah.
Well, they're one of the top 10 concert artists of all time, in my opinion.
And Dave, did you say you're in the program now?
I am in the program, yes.
All right.
Well, good luck, man.
I relapsed last at the end of the year, but I just got my 9-month clean again.
Very good.
So right. I'm doing better.
All right. Good luck, man.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
You too.
I love how it started with him saying, I was smoking pot backstage.
Right, came full circle.
Seven Dust and Megadeth.
Yes.
And then later on in the story, he says, my sponsor.
Must have been a hell of a night.
Oh, okay.
Well, why get a sponsor if you're not smoking pot first, right?
Right, exactly.
That's right. You have to do things in the correct order.
That's how you get sponsorship, yes.
Andre in Derby, you also have an Iron Maiden story or question?
Yeah, I want to know Jimmy's memories of Iron Maiden when they came around. It was 1987, Somewhere in Time tour in New Haven Coliseum.
Well, my memories with Iron Maiden are always good because I'm just a giant Bruce Dickinson fan. But every once in a while, I will get my Iron Maiden, and I don't even care for their music very much. It's not my taste, but I like the person so much. So I end up watching... I mean, hanging with Bruce backstage because he truly is one of the good people in the world. But I never go and watch the show. So my memories are really just hanging with them backstage. That really is it. I don't have any concert memories itself.
I can say about Bruce Dickinson, when he came to Toad's Place when he did his solo tour a few years back, the place was packed. It was an awesome show. And everyone's just like hanging on the street. And he just walks out and he goes, okay, who wants pictures? Who wants to hang out? And
cool.
We're all like, we're all freaking out. And
I'm freaking out, man.
Look at you drink.
He just went to every single person, was personal with everybody.
Yep, he really is. So who was the opening act on that show? Was it Ace Frehley?
For the Maiden show?
Iron Maiden show.
Ace Frehley did the subsequent tour.
Yeah, he did the 88 tour, Ace Frehley.
Right. Andre, I hate to cut you short here, but we got to go. And can you, Andre, can you hit an Iron Maiden type note?
Not at my work desk.
Good answer, man.
January 12th, 1987, Iron Maiden, Ingemar Malmsteen.
Good answer.
There. But I definitely can.
Thank you, Andre.
Jimmy, thank you very much. We're linked up to Jim Koplik Presents Archives. If you love concerts, you will love that Facebook page. Talk to you next week, brother. Thank you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.